We have a lot to talk about this hour, and I think that the idiocy of this alleged government knows no bounds anymore. It's a dictatorship. We've been overthrown, and you watch DeSantis and Trump and the carnival act that they're putting on. Trump is literally destroying himself. His positions are absurd. He's acting like a child in many ways. DeSantis is presenting as someone who has done some good things in Florida, but is still another sellout to the state of Israel and our dual citizen control matrix in this country. It's a fact. So what do you have there? RFK Jr. is my choice. I think they're going to continue grooming this guy, and they're going to put him in the White House with a very strong VP. And they'll get rid of the camel and the pedo in one fell swoop that way. RFK Jr. today deleted a tweet praising Roger Waters, who has done a lot to tell it like it really is. So RFK Jr. dumped on Roger Waters, and then he immediately pledged support for Israel, his controllers, and joined a pro-Israel march. So you've got a picture of DeSantis with a yarmulke on at the Wailing Wall. RFK Jr. will be there if he hasn't already been there. Trump, we know his Lubavitcher background with his daughter and son-in-law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So who's running the show here? Y'all can figure it out. That's how they say it down south. Y'all can figure it out. It ain't us. So there you go. All right, let's bring my better half here in this partnership of information and hopefully wisdom that we're offering all of you for your consideration. Let's cue the orchestra here. And the
finale.
That
sounds like a dinner bell.
And there she is. All right. Just like that. That is a dinner bell from an American Railroad's golden days. They used
That's
to walk
it.
Through the cars and hit those chimes announcing that the dining car was now open for dinner. That's how the passengers on the trains would find out. All right.
It's a nice
sound,
bit of nostalgia.
Well, that was for you there. We had a change at the CDC. Many of you may have missed it. Many of you didn't miss it. There's a new director. Little Rochelle is gone. Little Rochelle Walensky, gone. She's been replaced by, now keep in mind that Jewish people on this planet comprise 0.37% of the world population. There are, I think, 5 million in the U.S. total, but the administration, such as it isn't, doesn't seem to be able to do anything but appoint more Jewish Americans. That's fine, whatever. So the new CDC director is named Mandy Cohen, not to be confused with Khan. Mandy Cohen talks like a retarded teenager. I'm going to play a little clip here just for fun. You know, Americans, for those of you around the world, Americans use the word like about 5 times a sentence. They can't get through a sentence. I'm talking about Gen Z and even millennials. They have to use the word like. So Mandy Cohen was being interviewed by somebody, and she made a statement. And she used the word like 3 times in one sentence. So anyway, I wanted to play this just to give you an idea of the intellectual acumen that these heads of major government bureaucracies wield at the helm. So this is Mandy Cohen speaking from her heart.
So I would call, probably the person I called most was the Secretary of Health and Human Services in Massachusetts. She worked for a Republican governor just to, when she was like, are you going to let them have professional football? And I was like, nope. And she's like, okay, neither are we. it was like conversations like that. So, or I'd be like, so when are you going to think about lightening up a mess? They're like, next Monday. I'm like, okay, next Monday.
That was six likes I counted there. This is just a travesty. Nothing new. It's been this way now. And I guess the overview of the whole situation is simply summed up. Look what they did to us in just 3 years. It's gone.
It's stunning. It really is. Less than 3 years, if you think about it. I think there was enough resistance the first year of this thing. Well, you know, we'll go along with this for a little bit, and
it's all just really, it's so preposterous and so evil. It's stunning. Okay, with a little bit of humor, although it's not all that funny. We're going to go now to something that is really important. We don't have many great leaders on our side of the scientific, medical, non-vax, bioweapon fence. One of the great ones, without question, was Professor Emeritus Dr. Arne Burkhardt of Germany, a brilliant man who, long past his retirement, stood up tall and did a lot of great scientific lab work to help roll back the veil of lies and deceit behind this mass death that's going on right now. And I'm including all the people who have been grievously injured or who have been grievously injured but don't yet know it. That's going on all the time. Believe it. These people are sick and they don't know it. And we're going to hear from Ryan Cole a little bit later, who will explain, as we have, how some of that is actually being perpetrated. Tell us a little bit about Arne Burkhardt. Then we're going to talk about the mass sterilization of humankind with these non-vaccine bioweapons, which is exactly what it is. One of the primary missions of these injections is to sterilize the populace.
Well, Arne Burkhardt was a pathologist in Germany, and he was came into, I guess, prominence. He was a fairly well-published professor. I forget how many, 150 papers to his name, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit. So he was well-known in his field. I believe he was retired at the time the vax rollout began, and he knew, as many did, that this was going to be disastrous. And I guess as soon as he had the opportunity, he began performing autopsies on the deceased, because
he knew that he could
prove that these things had a role in these people's untimely demise. And he did. He began, with a couple, and made his findings public, opened them up for critique. Most countries were not, still are not, allowing autopsies on vaccinated people. But for whatever reason, he was able to do it, and I think he did a total of 70 at last count. There may be more at this point. Mm-hmm. And in each every case, he was able to show involvement of the vaccine-derived spike protein, and that it was the spike from the vax versus a spike from the virus, primarily because of the absence of a nucleocapsid protein. If the nucleocapsid isn't there, then the virus isn't there. If the spike is there, then it was the vaccine that inflicted the damage. And so he's most well known for that contribution to this effort to reveal what exactly these things are doing to people and how deadly they are. I think his most recent conference, I don't know if he was in at this conference most recently in May, the World COVID Summit in Brussels, I believe. I don't know if he gave a presentation there or not. But the most recent one that he's almost famous for now was his presentation where he showed slides of two males who had been autopsied after they presumably died from the vax, and their reproductive organs, their testicles, were pretty much infiltrated with spike.
I think it
to
was
the point
worse
that there
than
was
that.
No
he
sperm there present.
Was
there were no sperm-producing cells or sperm
zero.
Present.
That's what he said. Zero. None.
And he gave
he
a stern warning
any.
To women who are seeking to have a family to probably not choose a mate who has been vaxxed.
If the testes are no longer producing spermatozoa and instead have been taken over 100%, which is Dr. Burkhardt's findings, by spike, and that spike migrates from the testes to the prostate, and during the act of procreation, to be formal, there is a transfer of that fluid. And that fluid no longer contains spermatozoa. It's full of spike. So the poor woman is getting a blast of deadly spike proteins. She's not going to get pregnant. Or if there's a mix, they say it's 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, whatever, the dominant part of it is spike. So these women are losing pregnancies. 75% of the vaxxed women lose them. And I'm concerned now about the unvaxxed females who are having sex, and it doesn't just have to be the sexual act itself. It can be any body fluid. If you wet kiss someone, sweat can spread spike. And apparently other things as well. The skin is not a barrier, not in the sense that we're taught to think about it. So you kiss somebody and you exchange fluids, you could be getting spike. And if you've been really careful about protecting yourself against being shed upon, and you go out with somebody who's either vaxxed or has been shed upon and is loaded with spike, you're in trouble. The spike protein, as the great Dr. Chetty said, is the deadliest thing that has ever been created by mankind, or humankind, however you will. So this idea of actually delivering spike protein instead of spermatozoa is Arne Burkhardt's big contribution. There are others. He's made some remarkable progress. But this is a big one. It means that sterilization of humanity is quite clearly a number one agenda item of this bioweapon. No question. If you can no longer find any spermatozoa in the testes, what are you doing? Who are you? What are you? You are sterile and you will never procreate. That's the end. You're done. And I think that many, many men are out of the game completely. Many. Maybe the majority, maybe the great majority. We just don't know. And that brings me to another question. Why don't we have, Miss Erica, a simple, quick test to determine if your body is full of spike protein? Check your blood. Do a biopsy. Whatever. There's no quick test for it. There are tests for it. I mean, we can find proteins. So I think that they don't want people to have access to that kind of knowledge. They don't want to know. The results would be horrific.
Well, there's a number of things that you cannot test for in the blood. Number one, we don't know how long is it in the blood. Is it free-floating in the blood? Or is it, if it's attached to other proteins, a test may not pick it up. It may be fragments of spike. And then it's likely that the spike is being distributed to various organs and tissues. I just don't know how reliable that test would be. I mean, it would probably be hit or miss. The best thing we have right now is an antibody test for spike. You can also have an antibody test for nucleocapsid, and that would show you whether you've actually been exposed to the full virus, as opposed to just spike. But antibody tests are subject to interpretation. We don't know if antibody titers are suggestive of protection, and I would argue that they're probably not. In the case of a coronavirus, you really don't want a high titer to a coronavirus, because it means the next time you're exposed, you will likely have antibody-dependent enhancement.
Good luck.
So anybody telling you that, oh, you're protected because you have a high titer, No, you can't make that assumption at all. A lot of times that means you have a chronic infection that's not going away.
What is it,
the average person has?
So we
almost have to...
7 infections going on in their body?
Oh, yeah, the average person, healthy person, has, on average, about 7 stealth infections that, you know, we just live with it. It's, they're not a problem because our immune system keeps them in check. It would be unusual not to have a few infections like that. I mean, it's just life, life on planet Earth. So instead of trying to look for spike directly, you can infer its presence through other tests. You know, it does kind of have a signature of what it does to people's pathology, physiology, and, you know, in terms of creating inflammation.
Just do a live blood analysis, couldn't we, and get a good look?
That would be the simplest thing for people to do if they really wanted to know if they've been exposed to shedding and if it's doing damage. These live blood analyses are very good at detecting red blood cells that are basically suffering severe oxidative stress. They have a telltale appearance to them. These ribbons that some of these people are calling graphene are actually endothelial casts. So if you're seeing that in a blood sample, that's definitely not a good sign. It means your endothelial lining is being compromised, damaged.
Well, it means it's being sloughed off.
Stacking.
It's free floating, okay? It's, people don't know what a cast is, some of them. It's the actual interior wall of a blood vessel, and it is being shed away from the blood vessel, and it ends up floating around in the blood. That's what a cast is in this case.
And then if the red blood cells are being destroyed, they will release the iron, and the iron, when it's free and floating in the blood, will wake up the dormant microbiome. The blood has a dormant microbiome that will begin to feast on the iron. Iron is a growth promoter for, well, both fungus and bacteria, so it wouldn't be unusual to see some life forms in a live blood sample from somebody who's seriously damaged from the spike protein.
I'm wondering, somebody who's been vaxxed or thoroughly shed upon and infested that way, and their body cells have been turned into spike-producing factories, okay? You get the mRNA instructions that goes into a cell, turns the cell into a spike factory. I'm thinking that there are new spike proteins being produced all the time in an actively infected person, and that they would be in the blood, because we know the blood goes everywhere and carries these things everywhere. I don't know. I think that there's no real interest in finding a test, a real good test.
Well, they do have them. As I said, it's just they have to go through a process to get it approved. It has to be reliable.
Right.
And I don't know if they're at that point. I mean, yes, they do have it in laboratories for research purposes, but they don't have it commercially available.
Right. I'm just wondering when they'll get there, if they will. Maybe they won't. Back to Professor Burkhardt. He was truly a beacon, a light in the forest. A great man. His integrity was second to none, just a real giant on the scene, and we've lost him. We hope somebody will step up and try to fill his shoes. I don't know how successful they'll be, but he was a man fearless in his dedication to finding out what the hell is being done to the human body by these bioweapons. Let me read a couple quick tributes. He's deserving of them. Swiss lawyer Philip Cruz wrote, on the unexpected death of the pathologist professor emeritus, Arnie Burkhardt, who has rendered outstanding services in solving one of the greatest crimes against humanity, who has also been of great help to my team in connection with our criminal complaint against Swiss Medic, and is incredibly valuable pro bono for the survivors of deceased vaccination victims, provided extensive expertise, and to whom I personally owe a huge debt of gratitude. We will keep him in honorable and grateful memory, and we will complete his work. And there are a number of people. Tributes came in from all around the world. So for those of you who don't know the name Arnie Burkhardt, hopefully this will ring the bell for you. And he died on June 2nd. And we did play a clip. We played a clip from him a week ago or so, 2 weeks ago.
did we?
He was at that COVID, he was at the
That's
International
right.
COVID Summit.
Now I remember,
European
yes.
In Parliament, yeah, on May 3rd. So he was there.
Well, so, it's a sad day. Another great loss.
Yeah. Okay, and for those of you who are wondering and saying, well, they are releasing all kinds of truths about the bioweapon now. It's being talked about by Robert Malone and Steve Kirsch and Beef Stew and on and on. Well, the simple answer to why this information is suddenly out there is that they've already won. They, the control matrix, don't care. So they're letting it be used by people who are picking up street credibility all the time by being heroes and telling us the truth about the bioweapon, which has already been injected into over 6 billion people.
Mm.
At least once, if not thrice. So they don't care. Let the truth be known. That's
yeah.
one of the reasons it's out there now. It's game over. It's game, set, and match. They've sown their oats, seeds, into the populace, and it's right now wreaking havoc on people's entire immunological complex. It's killing people. We know the people who are being shed upon are actually dying. And this is hard for people to believe. Well, how can that be? If I'm around somebody who's been vaxxed, how could that kill me? Well, there's one of the main groups that Erica monitors is a shedding group online. And there's a lot of very smart people there. There are some people who should know better, but apparently don't. But she monitors the whole thing. And one of the admins in that group just died. And it was quite a shock to many who were in the group daily, or reasonably daily. And tell us more about that. That was another loss. Nice person.
Yeah, rather shocking. There are several admins in this group. It's quite large. It's about 18,000 people. Of course, not all 18,000 are active. But there's eight admins, and this particular admin, her name was Marilyn. She lived in France. I believe she was of British descent. She made some regular contributions. She was a very positive-minded person, very, very professional, I would say. And she had become somewhat friendly with another admin, and they had communications in private from time to time because they felt they had things in common. And then this other admin, whose name is Beth, who's been wonderfully dedicated. I mean, she is there a lot, and very helpful and informative and supportive to a great number of people. She became alarmed when she didn't hear from Marilyn, and then Marilyn ceased to make contributions, her usual daily contributions to the group, and realized something must have happened. And she raised the alarm about a week ago and said, "I'm concerned. I don't know. I'm trying to get in touch with her." And you know, nobody likes to panic at first or assume the worst. So we let a few days go by, and still nothing. And then Beth came up with a very, very good way to track her down, which isn't easy. I mean, you know, being in the U.S. and you're trying to communicate with somebody, probably whose last name you don't even know, overseas, and doing some stealth detective work through networking, she was able to find Marilyn's, I think it was her daughter's Facebook page, and then tried to get in touch with her through that. Now, that wasn't easy because there had been some estrangement with Marilyn and her family.
Mm-hmm.
But the long story short is, over the weekend, we were informed, somebody got back to Beth and let her know that Marilyn had died. Now, there's a little bit of a backstory to this. It turns out that Marilyn...
Let me say one thing, if I might. Just for the record out there, Erica is also an admin in this group. So she knows a lot about
kind
this.
Kind of reluctantly. I didn't...
Understand.
Because I don't have the time that some people have to devote to that sort of thing, but I will make contributions every now and then. Well, all right, so people asked, and they were very saddened when they learned that Marilyn had died. And so Beth decided to just put out a formal statement as to what had happened, so there's no guessing. And here's what she wrote. Marilyn lived alone in France. She loved her vegetable garden and her whole property. She was taking a few supplements, but she never said which ones. I know she did take detox baths. She had heart palpitations quite often. The doctor gave her some medication, but it caused her asthma to get worse. She tried some homeopathic medication also. The doctor wanted to shock her heart and restart it, which scared her. She never went back. She was 69 and happy with her life. We talked or direct messaged on Telegram every day. She rarely went into town because of the shedding, but she had bought a used van and had to license it. The person who sold it to her did not do things properly. She ended up being at the courthouse doing business for over 2 hours. She said she could smell the vaxxed people, but had to finish her business. When she got home, she was sick, but took a detox bath. May 25th was the last time I talked to her. She had taken a homeopathic remedy for her heart. She was still sick from shedding 2 days earlier. She told me she drank a liter of water with a pinch of borax laundry soap in it. She did not feel like going to the garden. I told her to rest. I don't know if she died at home or if she was able to call an ambulance. The only reason I know she passed away is that we shared pictures of our grandchildren. One picture was of her daughter holding her grandson, a profile picture. It was a screenshot of her son-in-law's Facebook page. I messaged him, and it took him a week to get back to me. The message was actually that her daughter didn't know any details of Marilyn's death, or at least would not share. She did say her older brother was taking care of details, and her ashes would be spread over her land. So her heart was the problem, along with asthma. If she had gone back to the doctor, would she be alive? Who knows? Shedding was a factor. Heart and lung history was a factor. She has been loved and missed. Rest in peace, my friend.
So there we are again, for all of you who may be new to the program and who don't understand how dangerous shedding is. We do believe that there are an awful lot of very sick people now who are not vaxxed, who have simply hung around the vaxxed and picked up spike, maybe the plasmids, we don't know, mRNA, maybe other things. This is not something that we take lightly, and we have both self-isolated to a very large degree, as have others, and that's really your best and safest immediate course of action. Try to minimize your contact with the vaxxed.
I think what people are not understanding about the shedding, what is really happening when you acquire this toxin, this poison, whether it's the spike or fragments of the spike, the most immediate concern is the microclotting that's happening.
Right,
and
right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's instant. And it seems to be more effectively transmitted through touch. You know, it's definitely aerosolized, but touch seems to be a very effective means of transmitting this poison and having it start this clotting process. So the blood starts to clump. If you get enough of it, you know, it sticks to the ACE2 receptors, which are all throughout your endothelial, I mean, your vasculature. And it starts doing damage through inflammation. And if it gets bad enough, the body just, these cells die and they've got to be disposed of. So that's when you begin having this endothelial sloughing into the vasculature, into the bloodstream. And I don't know that people really, you know, I don't know if they realize how important it is to be taking things like natokinase to address that part of this problem. Even aspirin would help. But that is the biggest concern, and it can be silent. Microclotting is silent.
You don't.
Inflammation of the endothelium is silent until enough damage has done where some organ, be it your eye, your kidney, your heart, your brain, becomes starved of oxygen. And we're seeing a lot of eye issues.
That's interesting. That's a very strong harbinger of potential trouble. If you begin to have suddenly some kind of vision and eye issues,
yeah,
very important.
A lot of times that's where microclotting will show up first. But it can also affect nerves, nerve cells. I mean, nerve cells are highly dependent on oxygen.
Right. So the point is, if you shake hands with somebody and you think your skin is a barrier, you better think again. All right, whether it's the whole spike or pieces of it, it doesn't matter, or whatever else is being transmitted out through the pores. And this is sweat. Moisture is a body fluid. Think about it, okay? You shake hands with someone who's been shot up, and you are taking that person's spike, whatever else they're offering, right into your system. It goes right in, right through your skin. And you begin to microclot immediately. There's no arguing it. It's a fact. This is science. So
we've had so many examples of that. You know, people getting sick from just a handshake,
a hug, a kiss on the cheek. And if you're dating someone, you best keep in mind that that person, unless you've known that person for a long time and can judge that person as being someone of integrity, you may be lied to. This happens all the time. People don't want to lose their good times, so they're going to lie. Oh, I only had one, so I'm not going to say anything. I had one a year and a half ago, so I'm fine. No, you're not necessarily fine at all. And remember the picture. It's on the homepage at rents.com on the lower graphic, the slideshow. The guy's legs. This guy felt fabulous. No problems, no complaints. And they took a picture of his legs with a thermographic camera, which shows heat, like almost like infrared. And it showed his legs to have clots all over them. 4, 5, 6 inch long clots in his legs. So this is stealth. This is total stealth. You are not going to necessarily be alerted by your body's normal symptomology that you have a problem, because that symptomology is shut down by the spike. We've talked about that at great length as well. Okay, thank you for doing that. And you might tell people where the group is if they want to stop by and take a look at some of the threads of discussion. It's on Telegram.
Yeah, this is Telegram. The name of the group is Vax, V-A-X-X, Shedding.
Okay, V-A-X-X, Shedding on Telegram. So Erica does stop by there occasionally and does make some contributions, but these people who are full-time admins there, they're doing a great service running this site. And it's the only one out there that is really taking the bull by the horns. And
yeah, it really is. It's the only viable shedding group out there. And it's too bad. Because it is a problem.
Right. And it's funny because a lot of you who are very sharp will figure out that these platforms, as they were, forums, are all monitored by the other side, the enemy. They watch all the traffic on there, and they'll even have their own agents and assets step in and make posts to try to inflame people into arguing and so forth. You see it all. It's in all major groups in social media. They're penetrated. So understand that you're going to get a diversity there that may be a little discomforting at times, but it's a great group of people, and some of them are very, very smart. They've learned a lot, and we're all learning all the time. Every time Erica and I do a program, we learn more. It's just a constant process. All right. Ryan Cole is back with a new statement. It's about 4 minutes long. You want to set that up, or shall I just jump into it?
We can just jump into it. But, you know, of note, he's also picked up on the discovery of these DNA plasmids now in the vials.
Yeah.
Again, not many people are talking about it because that's a bombshell. You know, having DNA contaminants, supposedly contaminants, being injected into people, linearized DNA that can be integrated into somebody's own genome, along with an SV40 promoter, which is, that's from the SV40 virus, the cancer-causing virus that
virus
contaminated the polio virus.
Green monkey.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Contaminated the Salk polio virus, or vaccine rather, with the SV40. It is projected that at least 45,000 Americans, and this goes back 20 years ago, were killed by that simian virus number 40 in the polio. You got a sugar cube, you got a shot, whatever. It was a crime, and they knew it was in there. I've read too many accounts now. They knew.
Oh yeah, yes.
They didn't. They didn't do it. They don't care. See, we don't. The idea of killing 80% of the population on the planet is so impossible for most people to accept or even process. But if you look at history for even 10 minutes, you'll understand that mass death is no problem to the elite who are controlling the planet. They don't care. And that's why so many people have died already. And I think locally, it's certainly within the realm of possibility that in the last 2.5 years, we've lost 10% of the population of America, maybe 30 million people. And I would submit, in defense of that hypothesis, that most people over a 2.5 year period would not miss 1 out of 10 people that slowly were withdrawn from the population pool. They wouldn't notice. 1 out of 10? Nah, not going to notice. Worldwide, what is the casualty toll? We don't know. But it could be in the hundreds of millions now of dead and incapacitated, injured. Incapacitated. That means people who can no longer function in a meaningful way in their society. And it's crazy out there. All right, Ryan Cole, let me get this pulled back up. Okay, here we go.
Throughout the world after the rollout of these experimental injections.
Let me start that again. Hold on.
Injections.
Okay, here we go.
And they have found that garlic can cure CV-19. And most infected in CV outbreak at the CDC were all vaccinated, from the Epoch Times.
The thing I am here to report as a scientist, my observations. We've seen an increase in cancer throughout the world after the rollout of these experimental injections. This has been confirmed by analysis of CDC data. The trend increase of cancer over average is anywhere from a 7 to 12 sigma increase, which is astoundingly significant. When I was testifying in the EU Parliament, more than half of the individuals in the room confirmed that they know somebody, a family member, a patient, et cetera, who has a new or a rapid onset or a rapidly aggressive cancer after being clear of cancer after receiving multiple of these experimental investigational injections.
Is that a fair way to term them? Experimental investigational injections? I think Ryan would be better off if he would just tell it straight. These are death-dealing bioweapons. That's all they are. There's nothing experimental or investigative about them.
No.
We know in the literature from Dr. Singh that the spike protein binds to the P53 gene, which is the guardian of our genome.
When we first began to talk about that here a long time ago, the P53 gene, crucial in preventing virtually everyone from dying of cancer. And that is one of the first things that whoever designed this bioweapon built into it, that it would disable and take the P53 off the job, which is exactly what it did. We no longer have that. And there are other things as well. So that's what he's talking about. It's our number one frontline anti-cancer gene that is on the job 24 hours a day. Suddenly, it's off the job.
Those awry cancer pathways can open up. There are countless pathways of harm that are caused by the spike protein. My concern is not just this shot in the spike protein, but halting all lipid nanoparticle and mRNA platforms, both in human beings and in our animals, in veterinary use as well. As we have no long-term safety studies for any of these products, we know the lipid nanoparticles themselves, both in the Pfizer as well as in the Moderna, contain lipids within the nanoparticles, where it is clearly stated ALC-159, ALC-135, SM-102 are indicated in the material safety data sheet. These products are not for human or veterinary use. These are not for human or veterinary use, and yet they went into over 5 billion human beings. We know in the J&J, which was quietly pulled from the market by the CDC recently, that it also contains 2-hydroxypropyl beta cyclodextrin, which is known to be carcinogenic in animals. We are seeing hiding of information by the NIH, Dr. Eric Fried, as well as Oliver Shildon, forced retraction of a paper by Dr. Zhang et al. That showed that these products cause the inability for our body to repair breaks in our DNA that is critical for cancer pathways. There are 490 pages by FOIA requests being held by the NIH, not allowing access to the information that the NIH knows in terms of these cancer pathways and why they caused this paper to be retracted when it was good, solid science. We know by Dr. Fossa et al. Out of the Netherlands early on, after the rollout of these injections, that they altered the ability of our immune system, our innate immune system, to function properly. The function of your innate immune system is critical in cancer prevention, not only interferon levels, but as well as your T cells that fight off cancer on a daily basis. We are seeing alarming trends, these products, not just the COVID products. And as my colleagues clearly indicated, these are not just contaminated products. These are adulterated products. They have DNA circular plasmid in them. These are adulterated products that should not be on the shelf in any pharmacy in Idaho, in any doctor's office in the state of Idaho. This has been confirmed by 3 labs in the world. We're working on it in my laboratory as well right now. There are so many carcinogenic mechanisms of action that these products can cause. These are all studies that should have been done in animals before they ever went into a human body. I do sincerely apologize on behalf of science for those who have received these, not knowing these things. This is informed consent. Informed consent should always happen. I know my time is short. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. You have the power of the local level. You have the power of constitutional sheriffs. You have the power to act on behalf of the wonderful citizens of Washington County, where I enjoy going to the Fiddle Festival every year. You have the power to stand up for what's right scientifically. We've all been duped by a large system and a propaganda campaign. And unfortunately, these products are out there. A lot of people have been harmed. We can stop the harm from going forward. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Okay, you heard him mention plasmid. We rolled that out here. How long ago? A month ago? I don't remember. But we talked about
it. Yeah, 6 weeks maybe.
Length. And I termed it as the kind of the third leg in a triad of death and deadly mechanisms in these injections. The spike, the mRNA, certainly, and now plasmids. The plasmids, just to keep it really short, go in and look for bacteria, most specifically E. coli, a certain strain of E. coli, and they set up shop there and apparently somehow convert the E. coli bacteria into creating, if I'm right, I think I am, the mRNA instructions that can go out and then invade more of your body's cells in order them to begin producing even more spike protein. So this is how the mRNA is replicated in the body. It's being actually ordered by the plasmids to come from the E. coli, but it can be other bacteria as well. Anyway, 3 major legs on this triad of death. So many people now have no idea that they're clotting, that they're sick, that they've got cancer. And Dr. Cole made that very clear. Cancer is now wide open. And it's not the kind of cancer that can be easily handled or put into remission. In fact, people who have had cancers that have gone into remission now are finding that they have full-blown raging turbo cancers, and there's no hope for many of them. Some of them are dead before they can even come up with a protocol or a plan to begin to try to treat it.
Yeah. Yep. I'm hearing more and more every day those kinds of stories. But again, we're not just dealing with human cells that have been transfected. Now you've got to worry about the person's bacterial cells.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's come to light now thanks to Sabine Hazen, the microbiologist who discovered that babies were not being properly colonized with any bifidobacteria if they were being breastfed from vaxxed mothers. And then there was this patient after patient that she was seeing shortly after the vax, they would start to lose their colonies of bifidobacteria. And the further away from the vax they got, the less of this bifidobacteria they had. And that's catastrophic. So there's something in the vax, these injections, that is decimating a person's probiotic bacteria. The bifidobacteria are the ones that colonize generally the large intestine, the colon, and provide immune support, provide nutrient support, and all kinds of anti-inflammatory signaling. And when you don't have it, you're at very high risk of cancer, among other things. Leaky gut, for one. That's huge. That's not insignificant. So is it that E. coli is taking over?
It could be. It could be. So much to think about, and we presented in this hour a number of things. The act of procreation now can be a death sentence for one or the other or both parties involved. Why do you think all these women are suddenly bleeding, especially the unvaxxed? Where's that coming from? Probably because they've had relations with vaxxed or shed upon men, or in fact they are being shed upon and coming up with the same profile of spike damage. This is all horrific.
Yeah, it really does do a number on the vasculature. You know, the placentas that...
Yes.
You can see calcifications in the placentas of women that have actually had a baby, brought it to term. The placentas are not normal.
No.
And you can see the damage from these repeated cycles of this ischemia reperfusion, which caused the calcification. And these placentas are very telling that that's what's happening.
To quickly, we're almost out of time, try to repopulate your digestive tract. And if you've taken any course of antibiotics lately at all or ever, you probably have some work to do in terms of trying to restore your proper microbiome to your digestive tract. We like Flora. That's the name of the product. Udo has been on a number of times. He's a wizard about this. It's called Super Bifido. Super Bifido, made by Flora. And it's in the cool case at your health food store. So we like that one. That's a good one.
A lot of times you need more, though, than just taking the probiotic itself. You need some of the prebiotic fibers, such as...
What would you recommend? Go ahead.
Probably XOS, Xylo, X-Y-L-O, Xylo oligosaccharides. It comes as a powder, or you can have capsules. It's pleasant-tasting, sweet-tasting. It's almost like sugar. It is a complex sugar. That will selectively feed bifidobacteria. Let's see.
Yeah,
it's food for good bacteria. There's FOS, fructo oligosaccharides. That'll do it too. Aloe vera powder. Larch, arabinogalactin. What else? Some of the mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
As a powder, not the tincture, as a powder.
And it's too hard to write all these down, so We'll have the program posted later tonight, and you can go back and at your leisure go through it and write some of these down. And pick one that you find comfortable. They're all good, or Erica would not recommend them. But they're food
for
bifidobacteria.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anything we want to add? There's a lot in this hour. Arnie Burkhart's work showing that this is the biggest story, I think, in a long time in this whole nightmare, that male testicular output of spermatozoa in many cases is now gone. There's nothing there but spike protein, and that's what's being disseminated in the act of reproduction to the woman. It's no wonder so many women are having uterine problems, bleeding all the time. They're getting dosed with spike. That's just one way. One way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's a poison.
Be careful out there, dear friends. Be careful. It's the best we can do. Thank you. Great job, as always.
My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
See ya. Okay, there she goes, and we will be right back with another hour for you. Hang on.